praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. It is Sunday morning, amen. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. 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 Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you. We want to keep people up in prayer. Obviously, we got a lot of people traveling during this time of the holidays. But what I'm thankful for is for each one of you that are here this morning and each one of you who have made the decision to let Jesus Christ be Lord of your life. Because I got to tell you something. This journey called life, boy, it come far short of being worth living if we would live it without ever discovering Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? So I just want to thank you for being here this morning. And in particular, especially when we get to celebrate Christmas time. Amen? And we get to think about our Savior being born. And this morning, we're going to concentrate on the manifested love of God and the uniqueness of the love of God and what it really took for him to really, just every time humanity made decisions against God throughout our history, the love of God always stepped towards us. And we're here today with Jesus as our Lord because of it. So we're just going to rejoice this morning. I just want you to be happy and just enjoy this time together, and then we're going to spend time with our families this week. Amen. So that's going to be very good. But God is good, and we just want to worship him today. Amen.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning. presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah.
Yeah.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, but your love was great.
What a power.
nothing can stand the end. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you. got a vision. I couldn't even sing the song. It was so powerful. It's like God opened up heaven to me and showed me all of our loved ones that are up there. And he had them all. He said, don't worry about them. They're with me. They're in the blessed place they can be. Of course, we miss them, but we need to understand that God's got them. And then he showed me another vision, and it was all of our families. And he told me, this is your families. And he had his arms stretched around all of them. He said, I've never left them, just as I've never left you. And I've never forsaken them, just as I've never forsaken you.
Amen.
And I will do what my word says I will do, that you and your seed shall be saved because of my son.
Amen.
That came for your family.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't ever give up on your loved ones. And I'm not just talking to you about, it's one thing for us to read the word and for us to get the revelation that the Bible says the seed of the righteous shall be saved. And sometimes it's easy for us to believe for our children out of our covenant. But I want you to know something, that when Jesus came, he was that Savior for all the generations behind him and all the generations out in front of him. So I want you to know something, that you could have an aunt or an uncle. You could have a mother or father. And of course, you can have children and grandchildren. You have a right to believe. Sisters and brothers, amen. You have a right to believe for every one of them to be saved based upon you and God's relationship. Amen?
Amen.
So don't ever stop believing for God to touch someone else's life, especially people that you love and care for. Amen?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
So we've got a couple announcements. The first announcement I'd like to make before I slips my mind. Carol was at the first service, Carol Mays, and he wanted to thank every single person that has brought food over to him and Vicky. They've appreciated it. They love you, and they're just so thankful for it. So thank you to all of you who have done that. That's the hands of family reaching out. So it's amazing. So remember, we do have Christmas Eve service this Tuesday at 6 o'clock here at the church. Where else would it be?
Amen. But
I know. Don't. My brain, I can't.
Ooh, hallelujah.
My brain works sometimes. So 6 o'clock here. Hey, that's Eddie. Eddie's here.
I know. Yep.
Hey, Eddie. How are you? Sorry, I just saw you. I didn't see you walk in. Nice to see you. Praise the Lord. So 6 o'clock here. Christmas Eve service starts at 6 o'clock. And then we won't have a Thursday night service, and we'll come back together on Sunday morning. Amen.
Amen.
Regular
Amen.
Times on Sunday morning.
In the name of the Lord.
And I think that's all the announcements that
Amen.
We really kind of want
Amen.
To
Amen. Praise God. Well, I tell you what we're going to do is we're definitely going to take some time, and I believe the children want to come and sing to us. But before we do that, we're actually going to have a moment to do baby dedication. Amen. And what we're going to do is that we have some beautiful faith-filled parents of God here, and they have brought some beautiful children into the world. And one thing that I want you to recognize as people of faith is that when you are giving a child, you're given a God assignment. And you are given an ordained moment where God is expecting you to journey with him and bring your children into that place of absolute faith in a journey where God long-term is going to be able to build out of what you provide for them a journey of faith for them to fulfill purpose. So we're going to let Jared and Linda come. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know that they got lots of family with them, so family can all come and gather around. Amen. Woo! Look at all them, huh? Oh, yeah. Aw. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I think, is Chris and Trey here? I think that they got beautiful babies that they want to dedicate today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. Huh? Yeah, is Tazzy here? Has he? All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want you to know that when we do baby dedication, you know, at one point, each of our children will come to that age of accountability where they will make their own decision to serve the Lord. But what's powerful is that right now, as parents, as grandparents, as those who are joining in on this love journey, I want you to know that God destined these children to come into your family before time because he knew that you would be the family that would surround this child with the love, with the faith, and with the provision of God that could bring this child to its maximum destiny. I want you to know that when we look at these children, they're beautiful, they are miracles, and they are sent within us by God. They're ordained, and God hand chose each child at the appointed time to be born with the purposes and gifts and callings for the time. Amen? And so we're just going to come and we're going to lay hands on them and we're going to pray for them and we're just going to believe God. And listen, I will tell you, as parents and grandparents and all of you are here today on this journey, you are well equipped with what's in you to be a blessing for that child. And your prayers and your hands and your love and your mercy on each of these children is going to be the great carving of their destiny. You are their protection. You are their place of salvation. And God trusted you. Just like God trusted Mary and Joseph with Jesus, he's trusting you with this child because he believes that protection from the plan of the enemy, protection from this world, and providing their path towards God is going to unfold in your hands. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! Handsome. So good, so beautiful. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we lay our hands upon this tender, perfect baby, Father God, Lord, we thank you that you have blessed him, God. God, that he's filled with gifts and purposes and callings, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for his parents and for his family, Father. Lord, we thank you for his siblings, each one of them that will put their prayers in their hands of faith towards him, that he would be protected and brought up in the admonition of the Lord, Father. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom, the destinies, the calls, the purposes that are in him and upon his family, Father, that he's going to fulfill the purposes and the destinies we have for him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, little angel. Now, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lay my hands on each of these dear children, God. Father, we thank you, God, that you've brought them forth, and God, that you've blessed Trey and Kristen with the wisdom, with the authority, and with your direction, God, to raise them in the mission of the Lord. Now, Father, I thank you that each one of them, God, are perfectly gifted with talents and blessings and purposes, God. And Father, you protect them and bring them up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we put our hands forth, Father, Lord, and we touch this little precious baby, Father, Lord, we thank you, God, that the callings, the purposes, the destinies, the gifts that are in this baby, Father, Lord, that you have blessed this child, God, and you've blessed these dear parents and grandparents, Father, and loving Aunt, God, with the faith, God, with the faith to bring this child up in the admonition of the Lord, God, God, that this baby would fulfill destiny and purpose, Father. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that your hand is upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we thank you guys, and we just bless you guys for these children and for God's purposes. Amen. And at this time while we're concentrating on babies, amen, and we're concentrating on God's goodness and what a blessing they are to us, at this time I think we're going to be ready for the children to come up. And I think they have some songs and some singing for us. Hallelujah. So we'll give them just a minute or two to gather themselves together. Praise God. We might be disrupting their big meal that they already got going on down there. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
Just going to do this like this. Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you all for being here today. The children have worked hard on a short notice and put together a short but a powerful program for you all to share some scripture, some song, and this is from their heart as praise, as worship, as a Christmas gift to their Lord and Savior. And we pray that it would bless you as well as they share what they have in their hearts this morning. So here they are.
Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We'll be right back. Luke 2:10-11. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
We had to have something, you know, to happen to keep us on our toes. Can you guys give them round of applause one more time? They did a great job. Okay, you guys can start making your way off, and we're going to turn the service back over to Pastor Phil. He's got a great word to share with you all to follow up with what the kids set and the worship team set. So,
amen.
Thank you again.
Amen. Thank you, God.
No, I don't need that.
You guys are powerful. Praise God. Thank you, guys. You did good. Hallelujah. It's so funny because I'm being a little more conservative this year because, hey, Miss Bonnie, it's good to see you this morning. Amen. I'm being a little more conservative this year because I made a bold statement this time last year, and I ended up having to repent because I was found to be lying to you guys. Now, in no way, shape, or form did I know I was going to be lying to you because I was being so bold because our contractor promised us at the beginning of last year that we would be in our building by October of this year, amen? So I was standing up here boldly saying, this is the last Christmas we're going to have, and this is the last New Year's we're going to have, and here we are having Christmas and New Year's in this building. So here's what my strategy is. I do believe that this year, without fail, somewhere between February and March, we're going to be zeroing in on a time that we really do get to move in. So I decided that this year I wouldn't make any of those proclamations. I'll just wait till we're in, and I'll look back and say, hey, that was the last Christmas we had. I feel like that's a much better strategy for going forward. Amen. But we have been favored. We've been blessed. And for those of you who don't know, we are building a new facility right out in front of what's called Memorial Park. So you should go by there and see the progress because it's fully enclosed and they're working inside. And God has definitely been a great blessing to us. And I consider that as we've been on this journey for what seems like just a few years. You know, we've actually been here since 2011. And I will tell you that God's been great and doing a lot of good stuff for us. Amen. And when I consider that, I want to consider that as we talk about the Bible today, because as we talk about our Lord and Savior and we really celebrate this time of year, I just want to give you some perspective on the determined love that God has for us. And I really want to just think about that, because I will tell you that shortly after, I'm a little bit on the strange side. If you don't know that, you will come to know that. Amen. But I'm supposed to be. I'm part of a peculiar people. Amen. But what happened was, as soon as we were really starting to build out there and they were putting the structure up, I had to go out to the land. And sometimes I go and I preach out there before I ever come preach to you guys on Sunday mornings anymore. And so this one day I was out there and the Lord just spoke to me and he said, Philip, he said, did you ever doubt that this building would be here? Now, the very fact that he said that to me lets you know that I really didn't need to answer that question, amen? Because it was clear when God asks you something like that, believe me, he already knows the answer. So I didn't argue. I just heard what he had to say, and I waited, and he said, Philip, this building has been here from the foundation. And when I thought about that, it reminded me of this morning, because I'm going to read some scripture to you and we're clearly going to look at Christ being born. And I want you to understand something, that God, from the foundation of ever deciding to give life to us, had already made a way for us. And his love for us is so determined. And there's not a limit on God's love. I really want you to really grab a hold of this story as we read it today. And I really want you to give consideration of just how much does God really love me? And how much am I not partaking in what's available to me? Because I will tell you something, Christians, and I want you to really hear me as we go into 2020. even though God has been tremendous to us and has done a lot, I want you to start asking yourself, what could he do if I really believed enough in him to give him my whole life? I just want to read here in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read in verse 8. And it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now, I want you to know something. These were shepherds that were keeping their sheep in the dark. And I want you to know that it was pretty consistent for shepherds to have to keep their sheep, no matter if lions and bears or other carnivorous creatures was around. So for these men to be afraid of something, it had to be something significant. And I will tell you what happened to these men, that they were in their field keeping their sheep on the third watch, which means that it is the darkest time of night. It's dark. It's completely dark. But in a moment of time, when the Lord was born, the glory of God shone in such a way that it disrupted the night. It wasn't some small thing, people. It wasn't like, I mean, now we got these big football stadiums that can have all these profound lights, but you're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about complete darkness was shattered in a moment of time because God was coming and because the Lord was doing something supernatural. And I want you to know that it was such a profound moment, and the light was shining so bright in the middle of the night that even these shepherds who'd been out in these fields with their sheep and understood the region in the darkness, they were just afraid. They were mesmerized. They were shocked. They were at awe at what was going on. And it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I really just want to talk to us just for a few minutes here as we consider the fact of what a profound statement it is for not only for God to declare since Genesis that he was going to bring a Savior, but for him to be so committed and so faithful to his word. You know, if we really took the time, we could go back through the history of mankind and we would find time and time again before Christ came, how many times God's people would go with him and then fall away. They'd follow and then back up. They would begin a good race and then they'd stop. I mean, at one point it got so bad that the Lord says that man, all of mankind has become so wicked that we had to have the flood. And only 8 souls survived it. And so we see throughout the history of humanity that God's love, we just, for some reason, we just let the world come. We just let our attitudes come. We let rejection, disappointment come. And what we do is we find ourselves taking the very love of God and just pushing it out of our life or forgetting the tenaciousness of God's love. But here our Father in this story, when he determined that no matter what humanity had done, he was going to keep his word. You know, he gave his word to Adam. He said, "Adam, I am going to send a Savior that's going to bruise or break the authority that you gave to Satan." And once God made that determination towards us, his love towards us overrides the nature of humanity, even when humanity opposes God. And I want you to know something, that God just is so determined to love you that the Bible says that when he could find no other to agree with, he just swore by himself to make certain that his actions towards us are always going to be actions of a loving God. Now, I want you to know something. Is there judgment? You better believe there is. But you know, you actually have to completely tear yourself away from God, oppose him, oppose the Bible, oppose every way he told you to live. You actually have to fight against God's will to bring judgment upon yourself. And I got to tell you something, that once we talk about the love of God after today, I don't ever want you to look at God again and act like he judged somebody to go to hell or he sent somebody to go to hell. I want you to know that that's a choice that people make by rejecting God. I want you to know that your Father is a loving Father and he stretches himself towards us. Look what it says here. It says that this angel came and said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." In other words, he's proclaiming that the very one you've been waiting for, the one the Bible prophesied about, the one we've been waiting for has been born for us. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there were with this angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill towards men." You know, have we had wars on the earth? You better believe it. Have we seen difficult times on the earth? You better believe it. But the one profound thing that we have seen throughout the course of humanity is the hand of God giving us a way to live above the circumstances of the earth. And I want you to know that when this Bible right here declares on earth peace, I want you to know that for each of us, you know, I think it's neat, unique here too, how it says a Savior is born. And what that means to us as an individual is that God made this thing personal for us. His love for us makes certain that when he sent Jesus, Jesus is the Savior that can change each of our lives. Even though we're each unique and individuals, even though our experiences on the earth have been different, you know, Holly, you're going to need to know Jesus a little differently than me. And God knew that, and he still made our Savior, Jesus, a Savior that's available enough to you that you get to say, "My Lord and my Savior." Not just the Lord and the Savior, but you can actually say, "My Lord and Savior. My Father in heaven loved me so much that he sent his Son, that if nobody else would receive him, he made a great day that I could receive him." I want you to know something, that this was such a great day for humanity because it changed the course of humanity forever. It took something from the hope and for the looking forward stage to the here, right now, and always with us stage. You know, I love it because the Bible says that his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know that on this day, God was making a declaration that the Lord Jesus is available with you every day of your life? And he was making God so available to you that Jesus is right here for us, even now as we live and breathe today. Amen? But when it says peace on earth, I want you to know something. That we're always going to have difficulty going on the earth. We're always going to have wars and things happening. But for you, as an individual, if you will make the determination to receive Jesus, this great Lord that was born, that for you, it means every day of your life can be filled with peace. See, I want you to know something, that Jesus is here for us so that every day of our life, if we will give God room, we can be at peace no matter what's going on. Remember, the Lord did not promise us that after he came, everything would be easy. Remember, he said, "Hey, on this earth, you're going to have tribulation. I'm here as your Savior, but on this earth, difficulty, tribulation, the work of the devil, hardships in life are going to be around us. They're going to come after us. We're going to have moments where we experience toughness. But if we would really receive it, peace on earth has come because we have a right to cast our care upon him. We have a right to trust him. We have a right to see our Father as so faithful. If God was so faithful that he would send Jesus, why would he not take care of us?" And it's time for us to quit trying to hold on to the last areas of our life where we're doing it our way. And it's time for us to truly submit ourselves to do it God's way. You know, in this moment, I really want you to see something here. That our Father in heaven and Jesus, who was with him from the beginning, and the Holy Ghost, they had to give great consideration to this plan. You know, the Bible never says that it was easy for God. It says he commanded his love towards us. You know that when God says he commanded his love towards us, that word command means that you give effort and force and you command, you direct, you help something happen. Amen? And so I want us to quit thinking that everything was so easy for God. I want you to quit thinking that everything was so easy for Jesus. It says that Jesus suffered in all ways and was tempted in every way that we're ever tempted. I mean, these were determined decisions of love. These were acts of mercy that God himself, you think about it. If any of you have raised children, you know that there's times where when they're those little bundles and they're sick and they're going through stuff, you as a parent have even said this out of your own mouth, oh, I wish I could suffer through this for him. I wish I could take this burden on. And you've got to understand that God looked at his son and there was things that he had to know Jesus was going to go through. And he still called this a great day of joy. The angel proclaimed a great day of joy, even knowing that just within a few short years, this same Jesus who was born as this babe would have to suffer the cross, would have to go through difficulty. But I love it because God's love is so determined towards you that even though he knew that in order to give birth to Jesus, hardship was going to be out in front of it, they still shouted that this was the greatest joy ever for humanity. Amen? And when you really think about a child, a baby, being born and coming forth, and even as God knowing that his son was going to suffer many terrible things, his love for you overrode his willingness to see Jesus suffer. Do you really understand the magnitude of God's love for you today? I really want us to gather that up. I really want us to understand that at any moment, God would have been justified in saying, hey, I've given humanity plenty of chances. I've done enough. I've given them plenty of chances. But God is such a loving, kind God that he will never relent once his love is released. He's going to come. He's going to follow. He's going to chase. He's going to make room. And he's going to give you the opportunity, no matter if you're young or old, to partake in what his love has always been towards humanity. This day a Savior is born, an answer to all of your nightmares, an answer to your difficulties, an answer to the time where life gives you such difficult moments that you don't even know how you're going to get through it. God was saying, hey, listen, today you can rejoice because I've sent you the answer. Amen? You know, when we think about God and his goodness and what he's willing to do and what he's done for us, I want us to really stir ourselves to think about God's love. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. You know, let's just talk about that for a minute. What faith did Mary have to not only believe when the angel spoke to her that she could have a child, but then to be bold enough to go to her husband and say, Joseph, now I'm pregnant. Wow. And what boldness did Joseph have? I thank God that Joseph received a dream. Amen. And an angel came to Joseph and said, no, listen, you need to marry Mary. Don't put her away. You need to trust what she's telling you because it's true. She's going to have a child. His name is Jesus. And this is going to be the Savior of the world. And I really want us to grab a hold of something personal here. You know, at one time you were a baby. And you were released in this world. You were defenseless. You were hopeless. You were helpless. You didn't even know you were born. But somehow God helped you get to where you're at. Now, I don't know every one of your beginnings. I don't know the abuses you suffered. I don't know the difficulties that you may have faced and the hurts that you may have faced. But I can tell you this, that just as divinely purposed it was for Jesus to be here, I can tell you this day, it's divinely purposed for you to be here. It's divinely purposed for you to be born. It's divinely purposed for you to be alive. And if you will allow God the time and the space and the room, you will discover the depths of the divine purpose God has for you to fulfill. I want you to know something, that Jesus was born and came unto us by God with a divine purpose. He was the Savior of the world, and he is today the Savior of the world. It says that when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered of these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, I think it's amazing that God, when he sent Jesus, not only did he tell us he loved us, but you knew that Jesus, that God already knew his son was going to face hardship. God knew his son was going to be rejected. God knew that his son was going to have to go through difficulty. And even though he knew that, he'd already determined his love for you. He'd already determined that Jesus would overcome the cross. He already determined that Jesus one day would just put up a hand and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have you really embraced the love of God? Do you really grab a hold of the depth of God's love for you? You know, I just want to read one more scripture here. Well, two more. One is so basic that I love it because the children's church was already confirming some of my message because one of them is so basic. I just want to remind you of God's covenant with you in the book of John chapter 3. Verse 16, John 3:16. It says in verse, well, I'm going to read 14 first. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that the night Jesus was born started the giving process of God? Wasn't just when Jesus went to the cross. Every day, God had to look at his son from 0 to 1 to 2 to 3, all the way up. His 30th birthday, God was giving. And it says that he so loved the world God so loved you that he gave. Remember, Jesus said, hey, at any time I could call legions of angels and get out of this. But because of my love for God and God's love for you, I'm going to carry my cup. And I just want to challenge you this morning as we look at this to remember what it says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to just read a little something to you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to begin to read in verse 13. For whether we be besides ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You know, right here we find that the Apostle Paul and these men are doing what they do because the love of Christ constrains them. And they are starting to recognize the power of salvation, his love, and what he'd done for them. And it caused them to let his love constrain them, in other words, direct them, motivate them, and cause them to do whatever they were doing. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, I want to just speak to you for a few minutes today about the fact that we've known Christ after him being a child. We've known him of being the Lord and the Savior that was a man on this earth, that was in every way tempted, put through the same temptations and the struggles that we are. Now, the difference between Jesus and us is he did not sin. He kept himself in check from day one, amen? But as we start to discover this and we hear here that the Bible says that we knew him in his humanity, but now we don't know him that way anymore. Now we know him after his resurrection as the Lord and Savior of our lives. And as we think about that and we think about ourselves being new creatures, I want to give you a little bit of a challenge today. And I want you to start considering, do we love God the way he's loved us? Now, it is clear that we can never match God's love because God's love is a measurement beyond even what we can understand right now. But could we pursue him and say, God, the way you loved me, I want to love you. I want to make sure that my life is not just for me and not just about myself, but am I doing my best to make room in my days that I have where when I get to the end of my day, am I looking to say, God, not only did I do what I wanted to do today, but these are the things you asked me to do. Or can we start considering our life and saying, Lord, am I really living my well life in a way that's pleasing to you? Have I laid down my life like you are willing to lay down your life for me? Have I purposed and focused on you, God, and your kingdom the way it's clear that you purposed and focused on me? Amen? I tell you what, this is a time for us to really have a Merry Christmas. A Christmas where we consider the love of God. And what did it really take for him to determine that he would bring forth his son and not just have him born, but strengthen him for the life he had to live and help him get to the point where he could carry his cross? You know, I want to just encourage you with one more word. If God's love could be that determined to speak to Mary through angels, to speak to Joseph through angels, even tell Joseph when it was time to get them out of Bethlehem and take them into Egypt and hide out for the season they had. If God is that determined with the Lord and how to fulfill his life, don't you believe that God has put the same kind of care and determination in the fulfillment of your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to take a moment to pray, God, and first just to thank you for this time of celebration where we give great consideration to your love that was released through Jesus Christ. Lord, when you brought him as a child, he was already the preeminent one. He was already Lord and Savior. He was already your dear son. But God, the Bible says that he became poor so that we could become rich. God, he humbled himself, laid down, as it were, his deity, and took on flesh and blood and took on the manner of man so that he could pave a way to guarantee our salvation and our destiny. Lord, I pray that we would really get a revelation of your love for us, God. God, I pray that we'd really have a confidence in who you are. God, that we would really determine in 2020, God, that we're truly going to trust you with our life like never before. God, we're truly going to cast our care upon you. We're going to get an inward peace, God, whereby we rest and trust in you and know who you are, know what you've done, and know what you will do for us, God. I pray that we open our hearts. I pray that we open our minds, God. And I pray that we focus on loving you as you have loved us, God. For that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you said to us, you didn't love me. I had to first love you. And because I've loved you, now you can love me. God, I pray that we would fulfill that part of this journey. Let this Christmas time be a reflection of your great love. And let us receive it, God. And let us go forward in the strength of what you have for us in Jesus. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. I forgot about tithe and offering.